flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go again. Again. The Chiefs and Bills in January.
1:47 to go in the game on 4th down and 9 for Buffalo. Placement down. Bass's kick is up, and the kick is no good!
The 90s belong to Buffalo with playoff wins in 92 and 94. The last 5 years, revenge. And revenge is a dish best served in the cold.
All right, goal to go at the 4-yard line for the Chiefs, trailing 24-20. Pacheco, running back. Chiefs will use the shotgun. Motioning left is Hardman. They give it off to Pacheco. Slamming on the left side, angling into the end zone. Touchdown! Kansas City pop gargles the sweet nectar of the end zone. And the Chiefs are back in front, 26-24. And now they're going to run a fake. The Buffalo Bills run a fake on the left side, and the Chiefs knocking down. They hold the fort. Buffalo tries a fake on 4th down and 5, and the Chiefs defend it perfectly. It looked like it was Cole Christensen out of West Point, Captain America.
For the Bills, it's overcoming the demons of GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium and returning to the biggest game in sports for the first time in 30 years.
3 wide to the right, 1 wide to the left. Mahomes over the middle. Cut Tyreek Hill at the 45. Angling right, 40. 35, Gina. 25, 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Kansas City. A 64-yard touchdown. Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. These are 2 by 2, but they got now Hardman in motion. Right to left. Sets up a triangle to the left side. Mahomes looks that way. He's going to go wide open. Left side caught. Kelce corner out. Touchdown! Kansas City! Kelce hasn't been that open since training camp in St. Joseph. And he slings the ball up into the stands, much to the chagrin of the Bills Mafia.
For the Chiefs, it's simple. Protect the kingdom. Keep history alive and try to become the first ever NFL team to make it to the Super Bowl to try for a three-peat.
Make no mistake about it, gentlemen. We are in the business of protecting this town.
2nd and 4, the Kansas City 45-yard line. Chiefs by 16. Allen being rushed. He's gobbled up. He went swimming, and the shark got him. Josh Allen never saw the shark blowing in. From his right shoulder, he obliterated right tackle Darrell Williams. 36-36 tie in overtime. Chiefs first down and goal to go. Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking right side. He wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown! Kansas City! One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push fade comeback, and the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
The NFL's biggest rivals, Chiefs, Bills, Mahomes, Allen, Buffalo, Kansas City. Two cities, one dream, one Lamar Hunt trophy. Chiefs, Bills for the AFC Championship. Sunday at 5:30, right here on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
I mean, if you're not there,
and, you know, you feel spent. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, that.
It's Friday, baby. Red Friday.
It's time to just go home for the day. Light your cigarettes and take the day off, man, after that one. Well done, Mac. I know you worked hard on that intro. And
somebody says, give Mac the day off. Yeah. Somebody says, man, I'm ready to run through a tunnel now. Just listen to this pump-up video. Let's go.
That's right.
Ha, ha, ha. Thanks, Mac. Don't tell Bob. You're the cutest.
Oh, wow. Who texted that in? Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Wow.
Emily from Indiana. I'm going to hear about that one.
Oh, and three, two. Yes, up, there's the phone.
Speaking of. Yeah.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to my friend's daughter, Charlie Adams. She's going to play Center High School tonight, and she plays out at Odessa, and she's one of the best basketball players in the state of Missouri, one of the fastest basketball players in the state of Missouri, and she's going to have some scholarship offers rolling in. So if you're looking to, you know, go watch a cool basketball game tonight, Center versus Odessa, go get them, Charlie, because old Joe's been talking you up, man. So I'm excited to see what you guys are going to do tonight. So go kick some ass tonight and then watch Chiefs kick some ass on Sunday.
Let's go.
And my phone keeps blowing up from an Indiana number. I mean.
Yep, it'll happen. So this game and this team and the narrative that came out, I think Monday or Tuesday on a few national shows was that, is Kansas City the villain? First off,
yes.
Duh. that was last year's topic. Are they the villain? I think some people wanted to believe it. Some people don't. It's kind of hard to hate Patrick Mahomes. I think from a villain, like Tom Brady kind of looked like a villain, right? Like he had that Gaston face from like Beauty and the Beast. Like,
it depends on what era of Brady, and did he go to see the same doctor that Jerry Jones did before or after, and you know.
Somebody just said White Yoda looks like Jerry Jones, and I can't unsee it now.
Yeah, there is that, yeah. Speaking of Jerry Jones,
we don't need to talk about it. Right. This is Chiefs Red Friday. Yeah. Who's having sex with Jerry Jones?
Nobody. Nobody.
So to be the villain, I think you have to believe you are a villain. And I thought Travis Kelce leaned into it quite well last year at the opening ceremonies at Vegas when, you know, obviously San Fran, that drive to Vegas isn't that far. I say that far. It's like 3.5, maybe 4 hours, maybe longer than that.
No, it's longer than that.
Like 5 hours probably.
I bet you it's a good 8 hours from San Francisco to Las Vegas.
That's probably right. Because I noticed that whenever we went a couple years ago for the Chiefs-Bengals game, we were in Vegas with family, and like I was like, there's a lot of San Fran people here. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Obviously, mm-hmm. you can make a weekend out of it and get back home and whatnot instead of having to fly all the time to Vegas. But anyways, so they booed. Everybody in the crowd was booing. A lot of Raiders fans were probably there. Why not? To, you know, at least enjoy it. It's in your hometown. Go to Monday, Tuesday night, whatever ceremony. And Kelce was like, yeah, I hear you. Like, we're getting booed, whatever. But to be the villain, you have to have everybody involved. And team, fan base, everything. And I will say this. If you want to lean into the villain, do it from the fans' perspective. Like, if there is the opportunity, because we saw this from the Bills, like, media or whatever it was, like, they want them to be playing Mr. Brightside at the fourth quarter, being up and having a lead. They want them to do that. They want them to sing it on their sidelines and their fan base singing
Arrowhead. I told the folks at Arrowhead, I said, if we're up big in the fourth quarter, you play Mr. Brightside over that loudspeaker and just rub salt in the wound.
And that's what I was saying. Like, yesterday, I was like, that's the type of stuff where you can lean into it. Like, when Hogan at Bash of the Beach turned into the NWO Hogan, it wasn't a soft opening. I mean, he leg dropped Macho Man Randy Savage. They were the best friends of the group. They were this evil empire. Nash and Scott Hall were black and white. You know, they were the NWO. And here comes Mr. Hogan at the time, who was wrestling's face. Obviously, Stone Cold, we don't need to get into that. But he comes out and gives this promo, and it's so infuriating to everybody that they believe it. They're throwing beer and cups and stuff into the ring. You play Mr. Brightside up 14 points in the two-minute warning, you will then go viral for being absolute asses to a team that now will have lost their fourth game. You're rubbing it in. Lean into it. If you want to be the villain, I give you full go and lean into it, because sometimes being the heel is a lot of fun, because I'll tell you this, The Rock is the people's champion was a great wrestler. The Rock as the corporate Rock was a lot better, in my opinion, because you love to hate him.
Yeah, but I think the Chiefs right now, other than this whole referee, you know, mystique that people have created that doesn't really exist, and not really, it doesn't exist. That's the only reason you can hate the Chiefs, is because you're mad at the referees for, you think, giving them calls. I mean, they've done nothing off the field to make you hate them. They've done nothing on the field to make you hate them. They just win. And that's enough, I know, for a lot of people to hate. And if people want to view us as the evil empire, fine. That's a good thing, man. Like, you finally have reached the pinnacle when everybody else in the sport is looking at you and saying, F you, man, we're tired of you. That's what you want. That's the dream of every athlete, to be that guy, to be that team that's hated so much, not because you're a douche, but because all you do is win, 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 right? I mean, that's why the Chiefs are hated. They're not hated because of scandal. They're not hated because they don't have likable players. They're not hated because, you know, they cheat or anything like that. They're hated because seemingly they're doing it the exact right way and nobody can figure it out. And when somebody comes close to figuring it out, they adjust, and then you have to figure it out again when you thought you had it figured out. And I think that's the hatred there for everybody, is because they just can't crack this nut that has been the Kansas City Chiefs for the last 7 years.
They're the rarity, right? They're the popular kid that's nice.
Yeah.
He's good looking. He's nice. He comes from a good family. He's not a bully.
Right.
But you hate him because he's beautiful and popular and always gets the girl.
But he always hangs out with everybody else, right, even the non-popular kids.
Right. I hate that guy. Why do you hate David?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just hate him. He gets everything. But he doesn't, like, do it with an egregious, you know, persona.
Right.
It's like, why do you hate Patrick Mahomes? I understand the flop, right? He came out and apologized for it. Whatever. I get that. He shouldn't have done it. He admitted it. He could have just been like, I didn't flop, which would have been funny.
Yeah.
But
because that's what I would have done. And I'm like, why say that, Patrick? Just say, hey, man, it's part of the game. Everybody's doing it.
So if that's how you want to do it and that's how you want to lean into it, that's fine. But again, own it. It's okay. There should be hatred in sports.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be hatred in life. It's okay to hate in sports.
Sports hate is good hate.
It's okay to be like, God, can anybody else win besides Scottie Scheffler? I hate that guy. Why do you hate Scottie Scheffler?
Because he wins.
Because he wins, and he's nice, and he does everything right, and he comes from a good background. He's a religious guy. I just can't stand him. He's so good. I wish I could do that. It's like, you hate them because you ain't them.
That's exactly right. And everybody hates the Chiefs because they're not the Chiefs. And people are losing their damn minds over this stuff. Like, they want the Chiefs to lose so bad that they're creating fake scenarios and things that happen that just don't happen, because it's like, we just can't beat them. So we're going to try to slander them and say the referees help them. Okay, that's all you got? Like, really? That's what you're bringing to the house today, is referee slander and all that kind of stuff? Go out there and play better football. And if you beat them on Sunday, you tip your cap and you say, game well played. But you got to go out there and prove it on the field. You can't sit there all week and talk and say the referee's this, the referee's that, and I hate the Chiefs, and then go out there and get beat. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, if you don't like it, do something
about
it.
That's exactly right. I know we're kind of like, it's always somebody else's fault society these days, but I'll tell you what, take care of your own business. Worry about you. Worry about your house. Worry about your team. And I think Buffalo has done that this week. I'm not talking about Buffalo here. I'm talking about the league in general and the people that cover the league and the fans in the league and whatnot. Like, you're so mad about the Chiefs, do something about it. Find a way to beat them, because until you beat them, they're the kings of the world and they're going to stay up there.
Yep. Can't get Munson around in the city of Kansas City, Missouri, or in Arrowhead Stadium, and you'll find yourself in the middle of nowhere asking yourself why. Coming up on the other side, the voice of the Chiefs, the guy you heard in the intro, the guy that gets you there, the guy that tells me to stay focused, Dusty, Mitch Holtis, your voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, comes up next here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Well done, Mac. Well done. Every white man's wedding's anthem. At some point, all the groomsmen and all the guys in the wedding party are in the middle of a dance floor screaming this at the top of their lungs, just like Buffalo likes to do in the fourth quarter of home games.
Yeah. So somebody posted the meaning of the lyrics on X this morning. David Marcus is his name on X, a local guy. And he goes, lyrically, and he put a caption from the internet, literally, Mr. Brightside depicts a true story of Flowers' jealousy and paranoia when he walked into a bar in Las Vegas and found his girlfriend cheating on him. Jealousy and paranoia. Sounds perfect for the Buffalo Bills.
Mm.
This says it right there. Jealousy.
You know how this song became their anthem? One of their players had it at his wedding.
Yeah, Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
Or Dalton Knox.
No, Dawson Knox. That's actually a true story? And then the rest of the team just clung onto it? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Nice. Song also didn't hit for like 15 years after it came out.
That's not true.
Like 10.
What do you mean it didn't hit?
It was one of their biggest hits off that album.
Yeah, I mean, that song's 10 been years around. Later.
No, I'm saying it did not hit. Like, when that album came out, it didn't hit until like 10 years later. Then, and then it blew up.
It hit off a Hot Fuzz. Yeah.
I thought it's been a hit for, I mean, as long as you've been alive. But seriously, I mean, like, honest to God, I feel like that's a 20-year-old song that I've been listening to, Mr. Brightside.
Well, when did Hot Fuzz come out?
It's been out for 20 years. I'm just saying it didn't pop up the charts for about 5 or 10 after the album came out.
Kind of like the Killers.
Yeah, it's pretty true.
Yeah, they say the backstory is it started this summer when Bills tight end Dawson Knox got married and a video of some team members singing along to the song at his wedding went viral. Yeah.
Told you. Yep, I went to a couple weddings and that song came on and it was like we all got in there just slopped out, tux undone. Jealousy turning through sick love.
Yeah, it's a good song. But when you think about the meaning of it, I'm like, But don't think about the meaning of a song. Like, if you like a song, you like a song. Like, well, you know the deep-seated meaning of that song. No, it's just a good song. I don't care.
You don't like to know the meaning of the song?
Not really.
We did a bit of that on After Hours of songs. We didn't know what the meanings were until we got older.
Oh, well, yes. Yeah,
and then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Like that one song, Wrapped Up Like a Douche, Like a Roamer in the Night or something like that. You
Blinded
know?
By the Light? Yeah. How dare you disrespect Bruce Springsteen?
That's not Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, it is. He's the originator of that song.
But not Manfred Mann.
No, but he wrote and produced that song
first.
Did
he really? Correct. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yep. I believe it is on Greetings from Asbury Park.
Did he give it to Manfred Mann or did they steal it?
He gave a lot of songs. Because the Night he gave to Patti Smith.
That's a great song.
He wanted to give another couple of songs. The song Fire. Mm-hmm. Not I'm on Fire, but Fire. He wanted to give that song to, I think, the Ramones, or he did give to somebody like that. Atlantic City, the band sang that. A lot of people thought the band originally sang that song, Bruce Springsteen. No. And it's much more like downbeat, more sad. But we don't need to do Bruce Springsteen history because we have history coming up on Sunday. That history is the AFC Championship game. Ma, the meatloaf!
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10.
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Stay focused, Dusty. Stay focused, Dusty.
That's right. It's Friday. It's 7:25. That means Mitch Holthus drowns your ears with love and pumped up vibes. It is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. Brought to you also by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, I dare you to tell me to stay focused with this game coming up on Sunday at 5:30.
Dude, if you can't get focused for this game, hand in your card. By the way, the song you guys were playing, what is it, like Mr. Doubtfire or what is it? Song?
That's right. Yep, Mr. Doubtfire. Yep.
That's what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob knows this, Dusty. You play that at Pooch's and Smith Center, they start throwing beer at the chicken wire.
We've been there and seen that. They don't like that song there.
Nah, get rid of that Bill song. I don't care if Dawson Knox got married to it or Dawson's Creek or whomever. So, no, it's, wow, electricity for this game. I think Bob and I are in agreement. I think it's the biggest game in our city's history.
Yeah, I said that earlier in the week. I said, I think this is the biggest one of all time. This will be the biggest game we ever see at Arrowhead Stadium. Of course, Specter poo-pooed that, as he does with everything, and didn't want to let Mac run that great intro this morning that you voiced, so thank you for that. But I do. I think this is the biggest game because we're playing for something that's never been attained before by anybody in the history of this league.
Yeah, that's where I think it's set-apart piece of this game. 2019 was awesome, and we finally win the Lamar Hunt Trophy. We win it here. The other champion teams won them on the road. When Super Bowl IV champion, they had to win the AFL championship on the road. Same with 66, went to Super Bowl I. They had to win it in Buffalo. And so to get the home win in 19 was historic, but that was our history. And then to win it in 20 was COVID. That was clunky, 17,000 people. These guys, the Bills, that was kind of weird. It was awesome in 22 to beat the Bengals, but this one is not just our history. You alluded to it. It's National Football League history. No team has won back-to-back. And then in the third year, won this game. Three have been close. 76 Steelers, 90 49ers, 94 Cowboys. That's been quoted a lot this week. I talked about it a couple months ago. But you win this game, you make National Football League history, irregardless of what happens in New Orleans, just by winning this game. So I think that, to me, it sets it apart and a little bit above all the others.
Yeah, it does. And you start to look back at some of those others that had the opportunity for the three-peat. The Giants beat Joe Montana in San Francisco in a defensive effort. You know, the Dallas Cowboys were never able to crawl over that line. What's different about this Chiefs team than those other teams, in your opinion, that were going for those three-peats?
I think this team is more comprehensive. And that the fact that it's really hard to find a weakness in this Chiefs team. Especially with the special teams doing what they've done this year, and then the defense just kind of adding pieces. Now, it's not flawless. There have been some challenges here. The third down defense in the playoffs, and talked to Spags about it yesterday, and the third and long, the second and long, you've got to command those on Sunday or you won't win this game. But still, overall, the difference between this team is they'll hit you. This Chiefs team will hit you in every way possible. They're not just a slugger in boxing. They can also move and hit and dive and shift. So this is a heck of a team. We've seen what they've done, and they got the propensity to win the biggest games in the most dramatic ways. That is the sign of a great team.
A lot of times, Mitch, as we are joined by Mitch Holtz, the voice of the Chiefs here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. A lot of times in these sort of situations, they always tell you it's not always the best team, but the healthiest team. Buffalo's got a little bit of an injury blip up on their radar. Kind of got to get into their waters and kind of change the narrative there for Buffalo.
Well, defensively, I mean, I don't think they're going to have Rapp. He looked to be seriously injured. He hadn't practiced all week. And then who popped up yesterday? Taron Johnson. He got hurt late in that game. Milano got hurt late in their game against the Ravens. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. But let me have some fun here. The narrative of the Buffalo Bills, and they're good. They're really good. That's a really good team. And I think Josh Allen's a really good quarterback. But what is the narrative of the Bills, you guys think? What's the national narrative? The Bills are what?
The bridesmaid.
Okay. Well, where do you think Josh Allen ranks? Because he's the prohibitive favorite to be the MVP, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dusty, I'll ask you. Where's his completion percentage rank 1 through 32 in the league?
I'm going to say 15th.
I'm going to go 7th.
24.
Mm. Wow.
His attempts are 14. His completions are 16. Why has Josh Allen been so good? He's been so efficient. Why else? The fact that, and this is Matt McMullen was digging this one out the other day. He's so good. And I know you guys have him on air too. And he's just awesome to work with. 29 possessions for the Bills this year have started on the opponent half of the 50.
Mm.
They've had 29 drives, by far more than anybody else, start on the plus side of the field. Why? 32 takeaways. They are plus 27 when you count the playoffs. Now, here's where Josh Allen comes into play. He had 65 giveaways from 2020 to 2023. He was Phillip Rivers. Numbers, good team, but just giveaways like crazy. This year, only 8. In fact, the Bills set an NFL record with just 8 giveaways the entire season. But that's not the narrative we have. We have the Bills running up and down the field and scoring touchdowns like crazy. Well, their touchdowns like crazy are short field, short yardage plays that are set up by turnovers. If you're even with them, and the Chiefs have not turned it over since their game on November the 17th against Buffalo, mm-hmm. Mahomes is on a record pace with not giving up turnovers. If you stay zero with these guys, you can beat them by double digits. You can beat them by 10. They live off the takeaway, and the critical takeaway, the explosive takeaway, that has been the story of the Buffalo season. The Baltimore game was a microcosm of the Buffalo season.
So I guess I'm not wrong when I say the team that has one turnover is the team that's probably going to lose this game, right?
or end up being minus one, and these teams don't turn it over a lot.
Right.
So, yeah, probably. But if you're minus one, if there's Buffalo's got one and we got two, it's going to be hard to win this game,
mm-hmm.
or vice versa. It's just the way these teams are. But the narrative, you guys, of the Chiefs has been, oh, Mahomes just isn't, you know, hasn't had that good a year, and he's dinking and dunking. He's not throwing wasps, Tyreek Hill, so something's wrong. That's exactly, if that's the narrative of the Chiefs, that's precisely what the Bills are doing. Now, I'll give them credit. Remember, this was supposed to be a cap cleanup year, and here's one of your, of the 11 wide receivers that will play on Sunday combined between these two teams, only two played last year in that AFC divisional game in Buffalo. Justin Watson for the Chiefs and Khalil Shakir for the Bills. Other than that, their wide receiver rooms have completely changed.
Wow.
But that's meant play different. And so the Chiefs and Bills are more similar than the national pundits want to make it to be.
Yeah, because everybody's rooting for Buffalo to win this football game, obviously. Do you think we get the wide receivers involved more this week? I know when you get to the playoffs, you want to shrink things down and use the guys that got you there and whatnot. But, man, like other than Xavier Worthy, it was like the other wide receivers weren't eligible to play on Saturday.
Here's the brilliance of Andy Reid. And if you go back and look at that Houston game, they played that game between the numbers. If you've gone to an eight-man game, it's not a 100-yard field, 53-yard width. It's an 80-yard field and a 40-yard width. The Chiefs basically played that game offensively between the numbers last week. Why? They went to their strengths against the lack of superiority in the middle of that Houston defense. I think Lassiter is a growing star at cornerback, and we know what Stingley Jr. can do. Now, you don't give them the day off, as Len Dawson would say, but you focus your attack on the middle of the field, and who's going to do that? That's where the Chiefs win in that game. Now, to answer your question, Bob, I think the entire 53-yard width of the field and the entire length of the field's in play this week against these guys.
Okay.
You got to protect. Rousseau's coming into sack and strip. If you protect a click, you can attack these guys on the back end, especially if they're missing Rapp and possibly missing Taron Johnson.
Yep. The Chiefs not missing anybody, obviously Mecole Hardman, but let's move on to what the question is for you, Mitch, here. Who is the Chiefs somewhat? Who will be their secret weapon in this matchup against Buffalo this week on Sunday afternoon?
Charles Omenihu.
Nice.
Charles Omenihu has waited for this game. We had him on our Defending the Kingdom podcast, but I've had chats with him over the past months during his rehab. You know, you'll see him every now and then and have a brief chat with him. He has zeroed in on this day, you guys, because he'll tell you it's 363 days. He tore his knee up last year against Baltimore in the AFC Championship game. He did not get to play in Super Bowl 58. That dude, as much as anybody on this team, wants to play in Super Bowl 59 and win it and be a part of it. And his length is a factor in this game because even the greatest of quarterbacks can get affected by length, even on a deflected pass or the long arm of the law stripping the ball loose where you don't even have the dude in your vision. And that is Charles Omenihu. And especially teaming up with Chris Jones, you get size and you get wingspan. And going back to Bob's point of one turnover, that turnover could be forced by Charles Omenihu, who has four forced fumbles in his playoff career. But that dude is wired in and wants this game like no other.
Yeah, and I think obviously his return, Mitch, has made George Karlaftis become a household name all of a sudden in the postseason. He's now four sacks away from setting the all-time record in Kansas City for sacks. And since Charles Omenihu's come back, that defensive line, no secret, has gotten that much better.
And the reason is it's the genius of Spags. And Omenihu has the acumen to play inside and outside. He's just not an outside speed rusher like Von Miller, who's actually playing good ball.
Mm-hmm.
Von Miller's had more pressures for Buffalo and in the league than anybody in the league since week 13. So there's a renaissance there. But you're not going to see Von play inside. And Omenihu and Chris can do both. And because of that, two guys are occupying three and a half guys. So that means Karlaftis can many times roam free or use his motor to play twists, and he'll play inside. It's the sneaky part of Felix Anyadike Uzomah's game. He can kind of do the same thing. And he and George can work together, either outside, inside, or on twists. But because the other team has got to give so much attention to an Amenihu-Chris Jones combo that you can't block them all with two guys. And so that group, especially playing eight guys, being fresh at this time of year, is a big, big asset for the Chiefs.
Mitch, this is a serious question for you. Our producer and co-host, we call him Mac Morey, Mr. Tennessee, he said if the Chiefs win a three-peat, if and when they win the three-peat, he will get his first ever tattoo on his right thigh. What do you think that tattoo should be?
You can doubt a lot of ink. You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs being a three-peat. It will start at his upper thigh, go below his kneecap, and look horrible at the pool when he goes with his grandkids when he's like 62.
100%, Mitch. Yeah, you got to talk him off of that one. I just want to ask you this as we get kind of ready to put a bow on our final segment before we go to New Orleans with you. A lot of ink. Why wasn't Spags named one of the five finalists for Assistant Coach of the Year?
It's driving me crazy. You know, the hatred I get. But at some point, even through the hatred, this isn't the Patriots.
Right.
Andy Reid's not Belichick, and Pat's not Brady, and Kelsey's maybe Gronk. I don't know. He's not Gronk. He's got – but anyway, I get the hatred because they're winning. But I don't get the hatred because, wait a minute, let's appreciate what they're doing and how they're doing it, because we might want to do it that way. But the disrespect that comes from the so-called weariness of the Chiefs winning, that's where it gets wrong. And there's too many people that cover this league, whether it's Chaz in the basement with his Yeti mic, or it's people that have covered this league for a long time that somehow get blinded by, well, they win all the time, so I can't give him this award. And that it has to be measured against everybody else to give the true award. And there's we can say what we want, but there's wariness in the media about the Chiefs winning.
No doubt.
And so, and to me, I don't get it. It gets a little infuriating, and then I move on going, well, wait a minute, let's just keep winning. Mm.
The only thing that we got a finalist for was Coach of the Year with Andy Reid, and that's rare. He's never been considered Coach of the Year. But after this year, he's hands down the Coach of the Year.
They ought to name the award after him. It ought to be like the Lamar Hunt Trophy. It ought to be the Andy Reid NFL Coach of the Year. Mm. And maybe we get that done someday. Guys, he's had 26 years as a head coach. He's coached in this game 12 times. Half of his career, he's coached in the conference championship game. That's stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And the 27 playoff wins, he's burrowing down. I mean, he is all over Belichick in that stat. And to do it with different teams and different quarterbacks and this and that and change teams completely and dramatically, man, he's challenging to be the greatest all time. If not, it'll be Belichick 1 and Reid 2. He's our coach. He's here. We've had him 12 years, and I don't want to take one second of it for granted. The guy is phenomenal. He's just phenomenal as a leader, a human, and as the master of his craft.
Well, Mitch, you said it drives me crazy. I hope this defensive line is like a bunch of fine young cannibals on that offensive line for the Buffalo Bills and give them pressure to Josh Allen. And I know you know what I did there, so I'm going to try my best to stay focused and listen to that call on Sunday. Man, another AFC championship game for you. Go out there and be the most hated play-by-play guy in the game. You know what I mean?
You know, it's interesting because I was on NFL Network a lot or national shows. That hasn't happened much. And I think it's just like, oh, don't put another Chiefs guy on there.
Right.
Like, oh, look, it's a State Farm commercial. Oh, God, you know, it's a Hy-Vee commercial. It's like, oh, what are we doing? So it's all good. But that's okay. I just had this image of you at a dance with your tux, like, half worn off, and you're just jumping and flopping around with your bros to Mr. Doubtfire.
That's right. And you know he's been there. Mitch, appreciate it. And I just want to say you can move a 47, almost 48-year-old man to tears. 12 years of Andy Reid, 7 AFC championship games. Let that sink in for a second.
What are we doing, boys? What are we doing? Thank you, Lord, for this man coming to town. And we are living history. Let's just keep it rolling.
Absolutely. And thank you, Lord, for you, Mitch Holtis. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll listen to you on Sunday at 5:30.
Thank you, boys. They're putting up the chicken wire at Pooch's right now.
Let's go.
Mitch Holt is there with us on Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers, and also brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, don't forget championship game coverage brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. We take a quick break, but we bring up what it costs for both sides of this game. Coming up on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Red Kingdom, Red Friday. I mean, if you're not there, man, I can't help you. I know some people like to pace themselves throughout the week. Those people's names are Bob Fesco, but he's already there.
I'm ready. Game time. It's Friday. Let's go.
He's going home. He's starting.
Time to go.
Seltzers, vodka, juices flowing.
I'm ready, man. It's time. What are we waiting for? We had nothing else to prepare for. They're ready to go.
Three out of four people on the ESPN show right now picking the Bills to win the game.
Those people are
Mike
dumb.
Tannenbaum, yeah. Bart Scott, Ryan Clark, all Bills.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Graziano says, I'll take the Chiefs.
Well, of course, he's the only one on there with a sense of football.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you say? Ryan Clark, Bart Scott? Like, Bart Scott. I mean, if Bart Scott doesn't say, can't wait, do we even know who Bart Scott is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, brilliant marketing by him, but, like, honestly, go back to Buffalo. Mike Tannenbaum, is that the guy who North Carolina hired to be their general manager?
Mm.
Or was that somebody?
Who's heard of him?
Isn't that the guy that does like, isn't that Fine and does like a radio show? Oh, that's Feinbaum.
Feinbaum, yeah. He's a writer? I don't know.
Mike Tannenbaum used to be the Jets GM.
Yeah, if your last name ends Baum, I have a hard time trusting and listening to you.
Mike Tannenbaum.
I think even Greenberg picked the Chiefs.
Mm, shocker.
Well, he's a Jet fan. He's not going to pick the Bills.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you don't pick your division rival, you know?
You're right.
Tannenbaum, Feinbaum, Weinbaum. So anyways, by the way,
Scott.
Can't wait. Still looks the same. Good for him.
He does look good.
You found this the other night or last night. There's always going to be complaints about getting to the game and what you're going to have to afford for a game. This was, the audio that we heard last night. Cut it down a little bit for today because it was like 7 minutes long.
StubHub telling 7 News that tickets are more in demand for this game between the Bills and the Chiefs than any postseason matchup between those two in the history of the rivalry. Here are some of the numbers StubHub shared with us. Sales are already 155% higher than final sales for the divisional round game between the Bills and the Chiefs in Kansas City in the 2021 season, and 140% higher than the final sales for the AFC Championship game between the Bills and Chiefs during the 2020 season. Remember, that was during COVID. As a result, the average price of a ticket being sold so far for this Sunday's game, look at that, it's a whopping $705. About an hour ago, I talked about this huge demand with StubHub's Adam Budelli.
Yeah, year after year in general, the Bills and Chiefs has certainly become one of our top-ranking rivalries across the NFL on StubHub. So certainly as expected for an AFC Championship game, we've already surpassed all their previous metrics when you look at some of their previous matchups in the postseason. So there's certainly a lot of demand. If you think about it from the Chiefs' point of view, obviously the seventh straight year they're in the AFC Championship game. But for the Bills, you know, this has been another long time coming and an opportunity to beat them for the first time. So you have two great fan bases that are really beating for a chance to be in the Super Bowl.
The last time these two teams met in an AFC championship was in Kansas City back during the pandemic. The stadium wasn't even at full capacity, so a lot of people from here weren't able to go. Do you anticipate, as you look at these ticket sales, that a lot of people in the stands are going to be Bills fans? We know the Chiefs fans are pretty loyal as well.
Yeah, the way that we can kind of track that or make predictions is based off of the state that they're purchasing. And so right now we are seeing about 7% of the sales on StubHub for this Sunday's game coming from the state of New York. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean that there's Bills fans across the country, as we sure know there are. So there will be a good presence of blue there. But traditionally, to your point, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs have a great fan base where you traditionally don't see a lot of tickets come available for some of these marquee matchups. But clearly, the Bills are kind of driving this price. I mean, even if you look back at 2023, the last time the Chiefs actually hosted an AFC Championship game against the Bengals, this game has already surpassed that by 20%. So certainly a lot of that is being driven by the Bills fans, and we do expect to see a good contingent there.
Damn Bills fans.
But only 7%. I mean, that's I don't think that's a lot. No. I really don't. I mean, that's like, you know, that's the allotted allotment for the visiting team. That means 93% of the fans inside that stadium, obviously, are going to be rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I don't think the Bills fans are driving this. I think Chiefs fans really want to be at this game because they know what's at stake. You heard Mitch talk about it. I've been saying it all week. I think this is the biggest game that we've ever seen at Arrowhead Stadium because there's so much on the line. And I think as we get closer and closer to the week, and I've talked to, you know, I talked to a friend of mine last night. I think he paid $1,000 for an upper deck seat for this game. Ugh. Like, they want to be in the stadium for this game. People want to be there and be part of what will be history at Arrowhead Stadium. And so that's what I think it is. I think it's the three-peat. I think it's the potential of Travis and Patrick playing for the last time at Arrowhead, even though I don't think he's going to retire, but who the hell knows what's going to happen. So you have that also. You've got the, you know, Andy Reid getting another playoff win. Like, there's a lot at stake that Chiefs fans want to be a part of. And it's almost like we've come this far for the last 7 years. I gotta be there for the cherry on top, for the final curtain call of this three-peat run. I want to be inside that stadium. So he says it's 155% higher than the last time they played in that divisional round playoff game, which is a huge, huge increase in ticket prices. But everybody wants to be there. I think Buffalo has a little bit to do with it, but the three-peat and fans in Kansas City wanting to be there for this game is what's driving these ticket prices.
Makes sense why QB1 said this.
Yeah, I mean, Chiefs Kingdom is always, they're always passionate. They're always loud. I would just say, let's even take it up a notch. Let's see how loud this place can really get. But I always appreciate the support and the love that they show for us. And so I'm just excited for another AFC Championship game back at Arrowhead.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot wait.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. I mean, get loud. Be respectful, but be loud.
Yeah, it's
so it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's going to be loud. It's going to be a great environment. And that's the thing with the Buffalo fans coming in, though. It's going to be loud and it is going to be respectful because Buffalo fans respect us. We respect them. Like, there's literally no hatred for that fan base like there is for Cincinnati.
Mm. Somebody asked on the text line, is it wrong to eat Buffalo wings during this weekend? I said, no, I don't think so.
No.
I always, you know, you kind of try to do that, you know, kind of get back at the fan base.
Yeah.
You know, when you play the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl in a couple weeks, have a Philly cheesesteak for your menu spread.
No, I love when people do their tailgate spreads based on the opponent, you know, and I think that's kind of cool. Where you, all right, Buffalo, we're going to do some wings, or you play Baltimore, you're going to have crab cakes, or Philly, you're going to have the cheesesteak.
What is it if it's the Commanders?
Well, that's what I was thinking of. Poop sandwiches. Yeah.
Washington.
Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, there's nothing like, I think there's like Washington, a famous chili restaurant in D.C., but...
I think if you play Washington to cook something you've never cooked before as like a rookie because they're quarterback.
Yeah, I like that. There we go. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe that's when you
better
do
than
the
poop sandwiches.
Yeah, and I don't want to eat that.
Well, they are the commodes.
That's true.
Look it up. Like, what food is indigenous to Washington, D.C.? I mean, maybe they'll look at Maryland and maybe that kind of factors in. But that's a Baltimore thing. Like, you can't have crab if you're D.C. You've got to have something different. They're going to say chili, aren't they?
Half smokes. I don't know how to say that word.
Spell it.
P-U-P-U-S-A-S, pupusas?
Pupusas.
P-U-what?
They're good, man, yeah. Yeah, you'll like those.
Okay,
yeah.
Mumbo sauce and Chesapeake Bay blue crabs.
Okay.
Okay.
So pupusa and crabs is what you get in Washington.
Right.
Okay.
There you go.
Didn't see that one coming. Coming up on the other side, hopefully we get to keep
not that.
No pupusa and crabs, getting to our script, which is the most crucial one of the year. It's the AFC Championship script edition. Coming up on the other side, Fesco, Mac, and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.